Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 through 19 will be our text as we begin. But before we read that, just as a way of reminder to get us caught up with where we are and where we've been, over the last few weeks we've been studying how God expects us as a local church to fulfill the mission that He has given to us. That there are certain requirements that we must meet in order to be able to fulfill that mission. That mission is to take the gospel around the corner and around the world. So over the last few weeks, we've looked at, first of all, that we need to be growing as a church and as individuals. We need to be growing in our love for the Lord, growing in our love for each other, growing in our love for the lost. That's where it starts. It's the heart that where it must begin. We must be a growing church. And over the last 2 weeks, we saw also not only must we be a growing church, we also must be a going church. That is, a church that goes with the gospel, that takes the gospel actively, intentionally, prayerfully, taking the gospel to all people everywhere, all at the same time. Acts 1 verse 8 makes that abundantly clear, that we take it to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, all simultaneously. It's not a step-by-step process. It's everywhere, all at once, to all people. Anything less than that is not obedience to God's command and the commission He's given us. And last week, we looked at specifically from the pattern of the church at Antioch that we as a local church, the only way that we can obediently take the gospel around the corner here in our community and around the world to the uttermost, the only way we can do that is by sending others to go with the gospel to the places that we cannot go ourselves. We either send people from our own midst as a local church, as we saw the example from the local church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13, I believe it is. We see that there. We send missionaries from our own church and we partner with missionaries sent from other churches that are like-minded, that are of like faith and practice. And so we must be a going church. Growing church, a going church. And then that brings us to the last requirement that we're going to consider in this series, and we're going to look at this over the next few weeks, is that in order to effectively take the gospel around the corner and around the world, we must also be a giving church. And this is where some of the rubber meets the road as far as partnering with other missionaries, as far as taking the gospel into our own community. This is a practical aspect of it, as well as a heart matter, as we're going to see today. So we must be a growing church, we must be a going church, and we must be a giving church. All three are necessary, all three are needed in order for us to effectively fulfill the mission that God has given to us. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the two aspects of giving as it's related to the gospel. One is we must give so that the gospel can go out into our community, our local area. But then also we must give so that others can take the gospel to places that we cannot go. Specifically, we're going to call that missions giving. And we're going to look at that in a few weeks as the Lord allows. So we're going to look at both aspects of this. But today I want to lay the groundwork for it because I want you to see from the Word of God how that God Himself links giving with the spread of the gospel. This is not just churches and pastors coming up with the idea, oh yes, just give us money so that we can, you know, do what we want and you know, have our ministries and do our things. No, God makes a very clear connection here that both are required. Both are necessary. So you're in Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see here how God links these two together. We will return to this passage in a few weeks when we look at missions giving specifically. But notice what is mentioned here in verse 10 as we begin. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul is writing to the local church at Philippi. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, and Macedonia is the area where Philippi was located. That was the province where the city of Philippi was located. So when I departed from your home area, there is what he's saying, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, which would have been the next neighboring city after Philippi, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want you to notice a couple things, and this is not the message this morning, but I want to lay the groundwork here. And I want you to see how that God directly links giving to the furtherance of the gospel. Notice in verse 15, he says, ye Philippians, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He says, I left you and went to share the gospel with other people in other places that you could not go to yourself. When I did that, you communicated with me with giving and receiving. They sent once and again. It was repeated multiple times. It provided for Paul's needs. Why? So that he could take the gospel to places that they could not go. So God links giving here directly to the furtherance of the gospel. Notice in verse 17, giving for the furtherance of the gospel directly affects our eternal rewards. Notice in verse 17, he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. What Paul is talking about there is our spiritual rewards, fruit to our account. What Paul was saying is, because you gave to me so that I could take the gospel to places where you could not go, he says, any fruit that I see in those labors is going to be credited to your account as if you were the one that did it. He says, you're having a part in it. You're taking part of this ministry by giving and providing so that I can go. And when I see someone saved, this is my words here, but this is what Paul is saying here. When I see someone saved in Thessalonica or in the regions beyond, that's fruit to your account. God credits that to your account. That's rewards for you because you are just as involved in the ministry through giving as if you were there in person sharing the gospel with them. It says it's fruit to your account. But notice verse 18 as well. Giving for the furtherance of the gospel is one of the ways that we worship God. Paul says, I'm full. I've received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And he describes it as an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Again, see Paul's focus here. He's saying, it's not because I want your money, not because I want your stuff. He says, but when you give, you are worshiping God. It's pleasing to God because it's helping fulfill the mission that he has given to us to do as a local church. It is pleasing to God. So it's directly linked with worship God, and it's a way that we worship him. And in verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Giving for the furtherance of the gospel is directly linked to a promise of God's provision for us. Now, God doesn't have to give us a promise like this, but he does. Why? Because there's sometimes when it's going to be a sacrifice for us. Sometimes when, it's like, I don't know if I can do it, but I know I need to. And okay, Lord, I'm going to give it. I'm going to trust you. God gives us a promise. He says, giving God's way for the furtherance of the gospel unlocks God's promise of provision. Now, this does not mean you give to God $100, he's going to give you $1,000. It's not It's not the prosperity gospel is what we're teaching here. But over and over again, and we're going to see as we go through these next few weeks, God does make promises that when we honor Him with our giving, He does promise to provide all of our needs. And not just meet the very base minimum needs, but even many times over and beyond what they are. And so I say all this in the introduction this morning to show you, one, where we're going, but to show you how God views our giving as well. When we give in the way that God prescribes in His Word, it enables us as a local church to take the gospel to our community, and it enables us as a local church to send missionaries to take the gospel to the places where we cannot go ourselves. Both are required according to Acts 1:8. Both require giving on our parts as believers. And so this morning, before we look at the specifics of what that looks like, okay, how do we give to the local church? What does that mean? How do we give to missions? What does that mean? I want us to consider three biblical principles about giving that really should shape how we think about our giving to the Lord. These principles are foundational. These principles, really, if we don't get them, if we don't understand the truth of these, we're always going to struggle with giving to God the way that He wants us to. So we need to begin with these. We need to settle these in our heart and minds, how God wants us to view finances, material possessions, and giving. How does God want us to look at them and then seek to live by that? And so as we consider the message this morning, here's the main truth that I want us to take away from it all. That in order to give in the way that God has prescribed in His Word, you and I must view ourselves as stewards of God's resources and not owners of our stuff. We must view ourselves as stewards of God's resources, not as owners of our stuff. And we're going to see that as we go through the message here this morning. So before we get any further, let's ask God to guide us and to open our hearts to the truth of His Word. Father, I pray that You would be with us now as we look at these principles of biblical giving. I pray that You would guide us, Lord, and give me the clarity of thought and word to say what I believe Your Word is teaching, say what You have shown me from Your Word, and to communicate it clearly to each one of us. Father, I pray that You'd help each one of us to be willing and humble enough to evaluate our lives, to evaluate our view of finances and material possessions, to evaluate it and view them the way that You want us to. Lord, it's not so that we can have a bigger church. It's not so that we can brag about what we do and missionaries we send. Lord, we want to be obedient to Your Word. We want to do what You command us to do. And one of those ways that we do is through our giving. So I pray that You'd help us to understand these truths and principles from Your Word today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first principle of giving, of biblical giving that we're going to look at this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians, just a little ways back to your left there from where we were. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Now, we alluded to this principle already in the introduction, but the first principle that we have to understand when it comes to biblical giving, the first principle is this: I am a steward, not an owner. I am a steward, not an owner. So what does that mean then? practically speaking, to be a steward and not an owner? Well, first of all, this means, number one, God owns everything. God owns everything. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 14 says, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is." Psalm 50 and verse 12, this is God speaking, "If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." Psalm 24 verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Do you see a recurring theme in these verses? God is saying, everything in the world and everything in it is mine. I created it. In Psalm 50, he would go on to say that he does not need anything from us because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. He said, that's who I am as God. Everything is mine. And so when it comes to this idea or this principle of stewardship, I am a steward, not an owner. We have to understand God owns everything. If God owns everything, then that means even the stuff that I consider mine belongs to Him. God is the owner of everything, but also God is the one that gives us everything that we have. It all comes from Him. James chapter 1 and verse 17 tells us, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Every good gift, every perfect gift, everything that we have is ours because God gave it to us. You say, "Well, no, I worked for that. I saved for that. I planned and I saved and I bought that." Okay, who gave you the ability to work? Who gave you the health and strength to keep working at your job? Who gave you the wisdom to plan ahead and save and work towards that? It all comes from God. Everything that we have comes from God. It's a gift of His grace to us. And so because of that, because God is the owner of everything, because God has given us everything that we have, God expects us to be stewards of the resources that He has put at our disposal. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." What Peter is saying there is that we all have received a gift from God. Whatever we have received from God, God expects us to steward it the way that He wants us to. We are stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what does that mean? Well, we keep using this word, steward, steward, stewardship. What does that mean? A steward, very simply, is an administrator or a manager of someone else's resources. Think of like a financial planner that we would use today. Wealth advisor, whatever it's called at financial institutions. They don't own your money. They may think they do, but they don't. They don't own your money. You give them a certain amount and say, "Okay, I want you to invest it. I want you to do this with it. You know, plan it, use it so that I'm prepared for, you know, retirement or savings, whatever it is you're working towards." They manage your funds. They don't own it. Their job is to work for you, to use it the way that you want them to. That's a steward. That's what God expects from us. We are a manager, not of our resources, but of God's. And so stewardship, this is the definition that I want us to understand of stewardship. Stewardship is simply managing everything that God has put at my disposal for His purposes and His glory. Managing what God has put at my disposal, what He has enabled me to use, it's using them in a way that God wants them used. It's for His purposes. It's for His glory. Not my desires. Not my plans and purposes. This means then that what I consider mine here on this earth really isn't mine. It's God's. My income, my resources, my health, my time, my this, my that, whatever you think of as yours, it really isn't. It's God's. He has entrusted it to us, and we looked at this a lot through our summer series in our midweek services over the summer. We did a whole series on stewardship. So I'm not telling you anything that we haven't already covered here, but we need to be reminded again that as a steward, it's not mine. I don't own it. God's entrusted it to me. He has given it to me. It's a blessing of His grace, but He's entrusted it to me for the purpose of me using it the way that He wants it used. He hasn't given it to me to squander and to just use however I want to please myself, but it's to be used the way that He wants it used. This also means that if God is the owner and I'm just the steward, then God has the right to tell me how to use His stuff. It's His right. He's the owner. I'm the steward. It's His right to tell me, I want you to give in this way, or I want you to do this with that, or I want you to do this with that. It's His. It's not mine. I don't have any claim over it, so who am I to say, no, God, I'm going to use it this way instead? A steward doesn't have a right to do that. God Himself has the right to tell me how to use it. So then that means that I must use God's stuff the way that He wants it used. And when it comes to this matter of giving, we often have the wrong perspective when we ask the question, okay, well then, if God wants me to give, okay, how much of my income does He want me to give Him? That's the wrong perspective right off the bat. It's not about how much of mine do I give to God. It's how does God want me to use the finances or the resources that He has entrusted to me? How does He want me to use it? How does He want me to invest it, give it, spend it, use it? It's not my income. It's not my stuff. It's His. This also means that it really doesn't matter how little or how much I have. It's all God's. And so the question is, am I going to be obedient and use it the way that He wants it used? Matthew chapter 25. I'll actually have you go ahead and turn there. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. This is a section that we looked at over the summer as we considered stewardship, but I want us to consider it yet again in light of this, because oftentimes we think, or I've heard, you know, people say, well, I just don't have enough to give. You know, when I make more money, or when this happens, or when this happens, then I'll start giving. And understand what Jesus says here in this parable of the talents in Matthew 25 and verse 14. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man," now notice this in verse 15, "to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey." It would go on to say in verses 16 and following that 2 of the servants, the one who received the 5 and the one who received the 2 talents, they went, they invested the money that their Lord had given them. They invested it. They got the returns back. They doubled the money and were able to use it in that way. But notice in verse 15, here's what I want to point out. It wasn't the amount that was given to them that really mattered in the end. The master of these, and understand, a talent here is a measure of money in the Bible days here. He gave them a certain amount of money, resources, as verse 15 says, according to his several ability. He gave them what he knew they were capable of stewarding. One person was capable of stewarding a larger sum of money One person was capable of stewarding a smaller amount. The amount didn't matter. What the Lord was looking for was faithfulness to use it the way that he wanted it used. We won't take the time to read the rest of this passage here, but if you read it, you're going to find out that the one who was given the one talent, he wasn't concerned about his master's interests. He was concerned about himself. And so he went and he buried that talent. He said, well, at least if I bury it, then I've got that. I'm not going to lose it. And so I'll just bury it, sit on it, and then I'll just give it back to him when he comes. Well, when the Lord came back, this master came back and he called his servants to an account. The one who had 5 talents had doubled it and now had 10 talents. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one who had 2 had doubled it. He had 4 talents. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one that had 1 went and dug it back up out of the earth, brought it back to his master and said, here, I'm giving you your 1 talent back. And he calls him a wicked servant. He said, you should have at least put it in the bank, you know, more or less, earned interest on it. Then I would have at least had the interest on my own money instead of you just sitting on it and doing nothing with it. But again, it wasn't the amount that mattered. It was what they did with what they were given that determined whether or not they were faithful servants or not. And that's the same in our life. God gives us each what he knows he can entrust us to use. Some, that may be more. For some, that may be less. But God's the one who sets the amounts. And so if we say, well, I don't have enough right now. When I get X amount, then I'll start giving or stewarding or using it how God wants. You're missing the point. If you're not doing it right now with the little that you have, you're not going to do it later if you have 10 times as much. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, I believe it is, you don't have to turn there, but this is a similar account. But in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If ye therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which would be material possessions, finances, things of that nature, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? What Jesus is communicating here is that faithfulness does not depend on how much you've been given to be faithful with. If you're faithful in little, you're going to be faithful in a lot. If you're not faithful in little, you're not going to do it with a lot. And so the amount doesn't matter. One author put it this way. It's not what you would do with the millions if fortune should be your lot. But what are you doing at the present with the dollar and the quarter you got? Is that not what Jesus is teaching here? That stewardship is faithfulness no matter how much it is. So when it comes to this principle of biblical giving, we need to start with the mindset, I am a steward, not an owner. This means then, God is not commanding us to give him part of our stuff or part of our income. When God tells us to give in his word, he's simply saying, I want you to invest my resources the way that I want you to. Because as we've seen in the book of Philippians, when we give to the Lord's work the way that God wants us to, it's investing in eternity. It's fruit to our account. It's eternal rewards. And so the fundamental mindset that we have to change when it comes to giving is, God's not trying to take what's mine. It's not mine in the beginning. It's all his. I'm a steward, and so I need to simply obey and use it the way that he wants me to use it. So by way of application, let me ask you this morning. Who owns the stuff that you have at your disposal? You might say, I don't have much. Well, we've already seen that doesn't really matter. We have clothes. We have food. We have lodging. You know, if you go down through the list of all that we have at our disposal, no matter how little it seems, it's still a lot if you compare it to other people around the world. But again, the point is not comparison of who has more and who has less. The point is, who do you view as the owner of the stuff that you have available to you? Do you view yourself as the owner of your stuff? Or do you view yourself as the steward of God's stuff? The difference could be illustrated this way. If I view myself as the owner, then I'm living like this. This is mine. If God wants it, okay, then I'll take a little bit out here and I'll give it. But I'm hanging on to it as tight as I can. If God is the owner and I'm the steward, then it's this. I'm not hanging on to it. I'm holding it, but Lord, you use it the way that you want it used. You show me how you want it used. God is yours, not mine. As a pastor and as being in the ministry for a number of years, I've heard many different excuses on why people don't give or why they can't give or things of that nature. But let me say this as graciously as I can. It ultimately comes down to this truth here. That those who make excuses for why they don't or can't, they have an ownership mindset instead of a stewardship mindset. When you view yourself as a steward, when you understand that that is how God sees you and the stuff He's given to you, it changes everything. It changes everything. So we are not owners, I'm sorry. We are stewards of what God has given us. We're going to stop with that point here this morning. There's two others that we're going to look at, but I believe we need to stop with that one here today. So let me ask you this, as we consider this truth from Scripture. Again, it's very simple, but how do you view yourself in light of the truths of Scripture? Are you the owner? Or are you the steward of what God has given you? If we don't get that right, it doesn't matter what else I'm going to say from here. It doesn't matter. You'll make an excuse. You'll say, oh, I can't do that. Come up with a reason. Come up with, you know, here's, you know, why. Oh, that doesn't apply to me, whatever. This is what we have to get right. And again, this is no different than what God requires of any other part of our life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. God calls us to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him. Lord, whatever you want, that's what I'm willing to give. And so many times we come to that point and say, yes, Lord, I surrender to you, except in this area. And oftentimes, is it not with our finances and our resources? They would say, God, who are you to tell me how to use my stuff? Whose stuff is it? Yours or God's? So as we consider it this morning, we're going to move on to the other two next week. But the first principle of biblical giving is I'm a steward, not an owner. So how do you view yourself and your stuff? Let's close in prayer.